Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Okay, so let's, glad to have you. And we're going to open with a word of prayer. Let's just do that. Lord, we praise you for your presence. Thank you for the gathering again tonight, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of being able to join together and to get into your word and have your word get into us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you just manifest yourself tonight, manifest Jesus, and cause our lives to be transformed by your word in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
Amen.
I had a malfunction with my tech stuff here, so excuse me for a moment. Get it back going. There we are. So, got a story to tell you, and if you know the punchline, you just can't spoil it. And so, don't be a spoiler. Everybody tell somebody, don't be a spoiler. Okay. All right, so there's this Baptist guy who's got a dog, and there's a Pentecostal guy that the Baptist guy was, you know, kind of thinking about having the Pentecostal guy look after his dog for a week while he was gone on vacation. But he was kind of nervous, you know, because this guy, you know, Pentecostal, he's just a little out there. And so the Baptist guy said, but he, you know, kind of desperate. So he asked him to look after his dog. And so when he gets back after a week, the Baptist guy looks at the Pentecostal guy and says, so how did it go? He goes, oh man, it went great. I had a great time with your dog, and I actually taught him some new tricks. And he goes, seriously? He says, man, I have been working with this dog. I hadn't been able to teach him anything. You really did? He says, yeah, let me show you. And so the Pentecostal guy goes, so looks at the dog and says, sit. And the dog sits. And the guy is just blown away, and he can't believe it. You know, he finally got his dog to sit, and he goes, roll over, and the dog rolls over. And the guy is just blown away. And then finally, the Pentecostal guy says, heel, and the dog puts his paw up and puts it on him and goes, rawr, 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 rawr. See? So we're talking about peace. And I've titled this, I told you last week, those who were here, if you weren't here last week, we've got notes from that class that are available on the table. You can pick those up on your way out tonight. I stole my title from the Beatles. They sang a song, and really all it was give peace, all that we're asking is give peace a chance. And so I stole the title from them, but we're not talking about their kind of peace. Their kind of peace wasn't lasting, and their kind of love wasn't lasting. The peace of God and love of God is lasting and it's eternal. And so we're going to talk about that because we're living in times where everybody needs peace. And, you know, people that are, you know, one of the things that would be a real drawer for people who don't know the Lord is the peace of God. And so you and I, as God's people, this ought to be one of those calling cards that we use to draw people to Jesus is peace. And so if we're going to do that and draw people with God's peace, then we need to be experiencing his peace in our lives. And I believe we can have, I'm getting ready to jump ahead, so I'm not going to do that. Last week we talked about experiencing more of God's peace by getting his word in us. And I made the statement, no word, no peace. In other words, N-O, no word. If we don't have the word in us, we're not going to experience his peace like we ought to. But if we know the word, K-N-O-W, know the word, then we'll know his peace. And so you can get that if you weren't here last week and get those notes, and it'll help you. We need His word in us, and His word, He has spoken things to us that we may have peace, right? Okay, so peace isn't just a byproduct of salvation. It's not just like an extra perk that we get when we ask Jesus to come into our lives. Peace is part of the very nature of God. And we see this in Judges 6:24. Gideon built an altar there. This is after he had an experience with the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." And to this day, it is still in Oprah of the Abizrites. And so Gideon had an experience with God. He built an altar. And in the Hebrew is Jehovah Shalom. Most of us have heard that phrase, Jehovah Shalom. Shalom is peace. The Lord is peace. And so Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says, and this is prophetic of Jesus' coming. This is one of those that is read sometimes around Christmas time. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful." Isn't he wonderful? Yes. "Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." As believers, listen, peace should define our lives. Ephesians 2, verse 14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." He himself is our peace. Romans 5, verse 1 says, "And therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so, peace is something that should define our lives. And I got a question for you, and this is kind of a not fair question. You don't have to answer it out loud. I don't want you to answer out loud. But, I mean, when you're viewing, when you're thinking about your life, would you say that peace defines your life? Don't answer. You can just, if other people were to describe you, would they say, they're such a peaceful person. They just radiate peace, And again, that's not really a fair question because I know that there's a lot here probably that are thinking of something that happened today even that challenged your peace. And so what I'm talking about through Jesus isn't it isn't a phony thing that we put on. It isn't something that we just talk about. It is something that every one of us as people who have been born again should experience more in our lives. And in your notes, it says that this series is about experiencing more of what God wants to give us. And really, the phrasing, I wrote the notes, but I don't like that phrasing. So just so you know, talk to that guy. More of what God wants to give us. Listen, it isn't what God wants to give. So if you've got a pen, just scratch that out. Make an angry face. And no, you don't have to do that. But scratch that, what God wants to give it. It isn't what God wants to give it. It's what he has already given us. And so next time when I'm making notes out, I'm trying to be more careful about my wording. Because it isn't what he wants to give us. He does. He wants us to experience more and more his peace. We should experience it. And Jesus paid a tremendous price for us to experience peace. Isaiah 53, verse 5, this is prophetic of what he would do. It says, "For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." In the NIV version, it reads that the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. So Everything that Jesus suffered, his that betrayal, the mockery, the whipping, the pulling of the beard from his face, the beating, the crown of thorns, the cross, was all to pay for you and I to have peace. And so we shouldn't be punished by guilt and worry and anxiety and anger. Jesus was punished enough for us. And we shouldn't settle for anything less than his peace. All that he went through was far too horrible for us to stay stressed out, worried, angry. He is our peace. Now, as I say that again, I understand we live in a real world and we experience pressures and struggles, stresses and things. And so this is not a condemning message that if you don't just have God's peace all the time in your life, what kind of a Christian are you? This isn't that kind of, because that just takes more of your peace away, that kind of thing. And so I'm not saying that, but I am saying what we have to do is contend for that peace that he paid for. And so listen, tonight, right now, I want you to just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment, because I know that there are things probably competing with his peace, and maybe everybody's life that's here, something is competing against that peace. And I just want you to say this with me tonight, kind of a prayer and confession, and just say this out loud. Jesus, thank you for suffering so that I can have peace. I need it, and I won't settle for anything less. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I pray your peace settle in over every one of our hearts and lives. Those that are listening online, your peace, we speak peace to every heart and life that's here. Thank you for it. We receive it. Say, I receive it. So, and I mentioned this last week, we are meant to have his peace, but it's going to be something we need to contend for. Colossians 3 and verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That wording is specific because sometimes we may not let it or allow his peace to reign in our hearts and rule in our hearts. And we need to. We need to let it or allow it. There are things that we can do that will let or allow us to experience more of his peace. One of those is getting into his word and letting his word get into us. Talked about that last week. This week, we're going to talk about having a spiritual mind. And this is important. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I want to talk about being spiritually minded. And when I say spiritually minded, it doesn't mean being spiritually spacey or weird. Over the years, I've met some people that claim to be spiritual, and honestly, they were just weird, really. When I was a new believer, we had a guy came through our church in Flagstaff. And he told us all, this guy was like 6'6". He's a big guy. And he claimed to be Elijah, the prophet. Yeah. And so he had a woman there with him. He said she was his wife. And she went to another one of the women in our church and said, you know, I need you to pray with me about jealousy. And she goes, okay. And she goes, yeah, I'm kind of jealous about my husband, she says, because he says he's in this church that God has spoken to him that he's supposed to have six other wives. And she said, I'm having a problem with jealousy, and he's in this church looking for six more wives. Needless to say, he didn't stick around very long. He wasn't much of a prophet, but man, that guy could throw a frisbee. I mean, he was good with a frisbee. Not much of a prophet, but When I pastored in Rancho Cucamonga, California in the 80s, mid-80s, we did an outreach in our neighborhood, my neighborhood, and one of the guys in our church came to me and said, "Hey, down the block, did you know that God lived on your street?" And I said, "What, what?" He goes, "Yeah, that guy, he was like three houses up from me. He went and talked to him, and the guy said, well, I'm God." And so this guy in our church started talking to him and kind of challenged it wasn't brutal, but it kind of challenged the idea that he was God. And then God started blankety blank, blank, blank. And I told him, I said, "Well, that guy's not God. God doesn't talk that way." So anyway, being spiritually minded isn't being spiritually weird. So I want to give you a definition of spiritual minded. Being spiritual minded is when we let or allow God's Spirit, His ways, and His Word direct us instead of following our own natural inclinations, or what the Bible calls being carnally minded, just kind of going after a natural inclination, doing what comes naturally to us. I know that probably all of us have at times had a better idea than God's that didn't turn out so good. And so we need to be spiritually minded. Our peace is related to being spiritually minded, letting God's Spirit, His ways, and His Word direct us instead of just doing what comes natural or being carnal. And I believe this is what the Bible calls walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And so the result of being spiritually minded and walking in the Spirit will be having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And Galatians 5:22 follows this thought up in verse 16, where it talks about walking in the Spirit. Then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's other things as well, but I wanted to focus on that. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. So being spiritually minded is when we let or allow God's Spirit, His ways, and His Word direct us instead of following our own natural inclinations. And this is a big challenge for us, to be spiritual. Being spiritual is a challenge. And so I want to challenge us to, all of us, including myself, to be spiritual, letting God's Spirit direct and influence us more. Amen. To forgive when we'd rather be bitter, to love when we'd rather at the time or the moment hate, to be generous rather than be selfish, to be a giver instead of a taker. You know, when we get saved, we are born again, aren't we? The Bible says we're born again, or we're born of the Spirit, and God's Holy Spirit moves into our spirit and we become a brand new us. I wrote the scripture reference, but I didn't quote it or write it out in your notes, so that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And so I want you to tell yourself tonight, I'm a brand new me. Our spirit becomes new and a perfect creation where God lives. And so you're born again, your spirit becomes a perfect creation. That spirit man in you is a perfect creation where God lives. Amen. Spirit. But, see, our soul is still a work in progress. Our spirit's perfected when we're born again. That spirit man is perfected. But our soul is a work in progress. So I want you to tell yourself now, I'm under construction. Our soul represents our mind, our will, and our emotions. And it's really where a lot of our trouble comes from. And it can mess with our peace is our soulish areas. One of the great challenges is to let the Spirit of God influence us instead of our souls or our mind or will or emotions. So I want to talk about two soulful areas that can mess with our peace. And the first is our emotions. This is in our soul. We can struggle with our feelings, our emotions, right? Blue Suede and B.J. Thomas sang a song. They both sang the same song, "I'm Hooked on a Feeling," you know? Ooga shaka, ooga, ooga, that one. That one. Some of you remember that song. Blue Suede did a better version than B.J. Thomas. I like that one better. But anyway, "Hooked on a Feeling." You know, that's the problem with us. Sometimes we get hooked on a feeling. Now, there's lots of good feelings, empathy and compassion and all that. But we need to be warned. Feelings can mess us up. Our emotions can mess us up. Two of the most dangerous words that we can think or say at times could be, "I feel." I feel, right? Now, feeling, it's not all, and I'm going to concentrate, talk about some of the negative stuff. Feelings can be good, but man, they can also mislead us. All of us at times in our life have been misled by a feeling. I had an experience some time ago. I had a feeling that somebody was in our house. I heard something. And so with the sound came the feeling, oh man, somebody, I heard something. Somebody's in the house. I thought, man, that's not a pleasant feeling in the middle of the night. So I have a friend that helps me at times like that, and his name is Sig Sauer. Yeah. Yeah. And so I got up and got old Siggy out. And if you don't know, it's a 9mm. My 6 hour is a 9mm. And I got up, and I am walking through the house with this gun, you know. I'm bad, you know. What can I say? So, yeah. And so I checked out that noise, but I had Siggy with me just in case. And anyway, there wasn't anybody in the house. I think it was ice dumping in the, you know, the automatic ice. You know, that thing can, that can sound loud, like an intruder, but it wasn't. Feelings can mislead us. They can cause us to do things that we shouldn't do. You know why people commit adultery, get drunk, get high, cuss people out, cheat, steal, lie, and all those kind of things? You know why people do that? Because they feel like it. That's right. At the time, they feel like it. At the time, it may not have been right, but at the time, they thought, well, you know what? This just feels like the right thing to do. I'm big on music, I guess, and metaphor, music metaphor. But there was a song, wasn't there a song? Yeah, there was one that kind of went, how can something so wrong feel so right, you know? Well, it can be, let me tell you. It can be so wrong, and yet at the moment can feel, ooh, it just feels right. Watch it. Feelings can mislead us. We can get hooked on a feeling. Now, I'm going to say something that we already know but don't always act like it, and that is you can't always trust your feelings because they can mislead us. They can take us in the wrong direction, away from our relationship with God, our relationship with our families or our friends. We can feel tempted or angry or maybe misunderstood, and that feeling can take us in the wrong directions. Feelings can sometimes keep us from doing the things that we should do. I was thinking about this, you know, like working out. I don't like working out. In fact, I hate working out. I hate it. There are people who like it. enjoy it. And man, I'd like that, but I'm not one of those people. I wish I was. If I waited to work out when I felt like it, I'd never ever work out. Just would never do it. In fact, now that I think about it, I haven't worked out in a while. You know why? Just didn't feel like it. But I'm going to tomorrow, or maybe Friday, Saturday. But anyway, sometime soon, in the near distant future. January 1st. Thank you, Johanna. That I don't know if that was the Lord speaking to you, but it might have been. I don't know. Anyway, so if the reason, you know, the reason why we don't read our Bibles sometimes is because we don't feel like it. The reason, and I've seen this time and again over the years, the reason some people don't go to church sometimes is they just don't feel like it. And so the reason we don't do a lot of things we should do is because what? We're hooked on a feeling and we don't feel like it. So how do we get unhooked from our feelings? We have to become more spiritual. And again, I'm not talking about being mystical or weird, but spiritual. Listen, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have spiritual power. We do. You do. You may not feel it at the moment or all the time, but every born-again believer has spiritual power because the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. When Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and after he did that, he enabled every born-again believer to receive the Holy Spirit. When we are born, we're born of the Spirit. Now, after we are born again, we also can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's an added dimension of the presence of God and his power. But every single believer has the Holy Spirit living inside us. So tell yourself, the Holy Spirit lives in me. And he's called the helper. You know why he's called the helper? This is really heavy. Because he helps us. I know. I just, your minds just are blown, aren't you, with this revelation that I give. It was worth the price of admission, wasn't it? But he is always living in us to help us. Romans 8, verse 13 says, "For if," listen to this, because this is important. "If we live according to the flesh," or "if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And so you know what? The wording here is so important because he's not just talking about self-discipline. I was thinking about this just before the service tonight. I always prepare the notes beforehand, but then before I come out, I go into the and I pray and go over my notes. And all I was thinking about this right here. You know, before I gave my life to Christ, I was not one of these people in high school that ever thought that I would be living like I'm living today. I had some friends in high school that got saved and they started telling people about Jesus and all that. I thought, well, that's good for you, but it's just, I could not see myself living this kind of lifestyle. You know why? Because I was thinking in a carnal mind. I didn't know about getting born, really. I mean, I heard phrases and all, but I didn't know it. I thought, I wasn't an alcoholic, but I drank a lot. I smoked a lot of pot, you know, I really couldn't see myself living life without that. It's laughable to me now, but it wasn't back then. It was real. I'm just not going to, and other things that I did, that I just couldn't see myself being, you know, like I am now, but a Christian, you know. But I was trying to project myself into a lifestyle without the help of the Holy Spirit. When I got born again, that stuff started, I stopped doing a lot of that outward behavior, you know, that I had done, drinking and the pot smoking, and some of the immorality stuff and all that junk. I started falling off of me after I got saved because the Holy Spirit was moving in me. Now, it's been a whole lifetime process. I've been a believer now for, gosh, since 1975, going on 50 years, you know. That's a long time. I was like 2 when I got saved, you know. So, no. But you know, it's been a long time. And God's still working on me and working in me, working things out. And the inner man and all that is still being worked on. My soul is still a work in progress. My mind, my will, my emotions, all that is still in process. I still have to forgive. And I still have to love. And I have all these things that you are as a Christian. But the Holy Spirit is my helper. He is our helper. And so he will help us if we give him a chance. He'll help us get unhooked from our feelings. And I hope I left this in your notes. Did I leave the example, Jesus, my feelings are taking me in the wrong way? Did I leave that in your notes? It's right before point B. Is it in there? No. Gosh, that was... Sorry about that. It was really good. But I had an example here. And you know what? Maybe you should just say this with me. Jesus, my feelings have taken me in a wrong direction. When I'm tempted or I'm worried or I'm mad or I feel alone. But I give the Holy Spirit, who lives in me, the right to help me, access to help me now, and to give me peace. See, being spiritually minded is letting the Holy Spirit work and move and help us to overcome areas and that will compete with our peace. So our soul includes our mind, so it's our emotions. He helps us get unhooked from our feelings, the Holy Spirit. But our soul also includes our mind, and another area that can mess up our peace is our thoughts. Romans 8:6, we read it earlier, but it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So how do we become more spiritually minded? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There are several things we can do that will help us become more spiritually minded. And one is we're going to have to cast down some of our thoughts. All of us have thoughts at times that aren't worth keeping. You need to hit the delete button. Our minds are like a computer that takes input, you know. On my office computer here and my computer at home, sometimes they're old files. They just need to be trashed, you know, things I don't need anymore. I don't need those files anymore. Our thoughts are like that. They're files that need to be trash sometimes. Thoughts like this. I'm no good, or I always seem to fail, or I wonder if there's any hope. I wonder if anyone likes me or cares. I'm afraid of the future. I'm worried about my kids or about my parents, myself, or about a lot of things. We have to get rid of destructive thought patterns. The Bible calls it casting down imaginations or reasonings. And we have to bring captive our thoughts. We need to make our minds line up with Jesus's thoughts, God's thoughts. It does matter what we think about. And I know that we know this. We know that, you know, like in the areas of lust, that's one of those things we know we shouldn't give our minds to. But the same is true about being angry with people and angry thoughts towards them. Sometimes I've caught myself having imaginary arguments with people. Have you ever done? Never mind. You don't have to confess. I'll just confess to you, you know. And if they said this, then I'd say that. And if they came back with that, then I'd say this. And then I have to stop and think, you know, are you crazy? Stop it. You know, stop that. Our thoughts, we have to take captive. And our mind is a battlefield. It's a battle, an area that we have to fight. And this is the reason why the Bible uses military metaphors to describe it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ, into the obedience of Christ. One of the definitions for obedience in the Strong's Greek Dictionary, the New Testament was largely written in the Greek language, so there's a Strong's Greek Dictionary that defines this word from the original Greek, obedience, and one of those definitions is attentive hearkening. I like that, attentive hearkening, or in other words, it means to pay attention. We need to pay attention to God's thoughts instead of some of our own negative or bad thoughts, bad ones. His thoughts, God's thoughts, listen, His thoughts are never hopeless. Romans 15, verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here again, the Holy Spirit's power comes to give us hope. One of the most powerful demonstrations of the Holy Spirit is to bring hope, an expectation of good from God, and His joy and His peace. God's thoughts are hope-filled thoughts. And they will fill us with joy and peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. He who lives in us helps us have a spiritual mind and think Holy Spirit thoughts. We gotta pay more attention and line our thoughts up, our minds up with God's thoughts. Here's a thought God had. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I love the way God talks in His Word. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I'm going to pause for a moment on that right there. God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You know what we need to do? We need to know the thoughts that He thinks toward us. So God says, I know the thoughts. I know the thought, and God also knows the thoughts we think about ourselves. And so He's challenging, I think, in this, some of those thoughts that we think about ourselves. Well, I don't know. I just don't seem to do anything right. All that stuff. God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. We need to know what He knows. He says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. We need to know what He thinks toward us. And they are His thoughts, our thoughts of peace and not of evil. There are too many people, even God's people, who think that God has evil or wrong thoughts or bad thoughts about them. You know, God may hate me, or He's mad at me, or God's just indifferent. And listen, nothing could be further from the truth. Those are lies. If you hear those kind of thoughts, and if those thoughts come to your mind, brand them for what they are. They're lies. And we have to cast down thoughts and brand them for what they are, a lie. If they are hopeless, if they are demeaning or condemning or thoughts that make us feel like God is uncaring, they're not from God. They're lies. Tell yourself they're lies. Isaiah 53:5 says, again, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, or punishment for our peace, was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Listen, and I'm going to wrap this up here in just a couple of minutes. He couldn't care any more for us than that. It's impossible. It is absolutely impossible for Jesus to show us that he loves us any more than what he did to show us how much he loved us. The punishment that he took, the suffering that he experienced, the cross that he was nailed to, the blood he shed was for us, for our sins. It is impossible for him to care any more for us than he already does. So listen, you need to know this about God's thinking about you. He thinks about you a lot. Amen. All the time. You're on his mind. Because you are always on his mind. I can't help myself, guys. You're always on his mind. He thinks about you, cares about you, us, all the time. Psalm 40, verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And so we've got to learn God's thoughts and learn to think that way. And you know what the outcome will be? Peace. Peace. And so what challenges our peace are those thoughts that are contrary, that are hopeless, that are fearful, all of these things. And we need to bring our minds captive to the obedience of the thoughts that God has, to the obedience of Christ, obedient to what he thinks. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace. Don't you want that? Don't you? You know what? He paid for that for us. This is what he has promised us, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When we trust in him, we put our mind on him, the outcome is going to be peace. Philippians 4, verse 8, one last portion of scripture, then we're going to pray. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things, these are what we should think of, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, good report. See, there's so many bad reports today, right? Good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Peace. Tell yourself, the peace of God rule in my life. I'm going to allow or let the peace of God rule in my heart and life. Peace. Peace. Okay, let's pray. And I'm gonna lead you in a prayer and confession, then I'm gonna pray over us. Because I know all through this class, I already know that there are things that are competing against God's peace and lives in this and our lives, and we gotta cast it down. And so we're gonna do that right now. Cast those things down. Contrary. No matter what is going on in our lives. God, he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He rules over us. He is the Prince of Peace. He rules with peace. So pray this with me, would you? Thank you, Jesus. You are my peace. Help me to bring my feelings and my thoughts under the influence of the Holy Spirit who lives in me. Thank you for paying so great a price so I can have peace. I won't settle for anything less because it's your promise for me. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Lord, I pray over each and every one of us and those that are listening online. I take authority over those pestering, persistent thoughts that are against the knowledge of God, that are against your thoughts. And so those hopeless thoughts, those fearful thoughts, those angry thoughts, those thoughts that compete with our peace, we tonight cast down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who gives us the ability to experience peace. Thank you for giving us sound minds. Thank you for your promise of peace, and we will contend for it. We will believe for it. We will live in it. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Next week, we're going to finish the series up, and I'll give you something else that will help you give peace a chance. Amen. God bless you. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.